If I seem a little off today, please excuse me. I just got back yesterday, I kid you not, yesterday, from co-directing Middle School Week with our new senior minister-elect, Andrew Owens. He was the Batman to my Robin. I mean, we really rocked it this week. Man, Middle School Week was so good. So much discipleship and exhaustion. I am tired, so please excuse me. But also Middle School Week, remind you, it is middle schoolers. They're a little crazy. They're a little messy. Understandably, they're in one of the weirdest times of their life. They're in a very messy time of their life. Middle School Week was a mess because of them. It's the drama, it's the craziness. But again, it was so good. And I feel so blessed from this past week. And speaking of mess, I want to tell you about a mess that I had a while back. But before that, I need to invite my friend Henry up to bring me a little something that's going to help me aid the sermon today. Thank you, Henry. If you don't know this, this is Izzy. She's one of our graduates this year. This is a fathead. What this fathead is going to do is let Leon know when to change slides, okay? And what it also does is, since the kids are in here, this will draw their attention. Hey, eyes back up here, kids, right? So every time this goes up, Leon, I need the slide to change. So there we go. So I'm going to tell you about a mess that I had about 6 months ago, this past December. So for those that don't know, we do churches on the youth group does churches on the streets. We've been doing that for once a month for about 2.5 years. And we collect donations, and all the donations make their way to my office because there's nowhere else to store them. And this was December. I had to organize all this. I took two different pictures at two different times. And I was so excited to have all these donations. And I was so excited that I took these pictures, not knowing that they would aid me 6 months later in this sermon. And I took these pictures and I sat down at my desk and I texted them to Joyce Holmes, because she's very faithful to the mission and is out there with us every month. So I sat down at my desk and I texted her these pictures because I knew she would be just as excited as I am about this mess in my office. And then I got off the phone, I texted her, I got off the phone and I put my phone down and I just looked around my office. And I kid you not, this is the exact phrase that popped into my head. Thank God my office is a mess. I knew that because my office was messy, people were going to be blessed that night. We were going to go out to downtown St. Louis to bless people with clothes, with food, with, see, Leon, I got you already. I didn't put the sign up. I got you. We were going to bless people because of my messy office. And I started thinking, how often does our mess in our life, do our trials, our tribulations, and our storms bless the people around us? So when I use the word mess today, I'm referring to the trials and the tribulations and the storms of our lives. That is the mess. You've probably heard sermons about how God is with you in the mess, right? About how God develops your character in the mess. Well, I want to take a new approach. How about your mess that blesses the people in your life? So yes, I introduce you to what will probably go down as my favorite sermon title of my life. Thank God my office is a mess. So let's talk about the mess. Your mess can bless. Your mess can bless. Church, say that with me. Your mess can bless. Awesome. So we're going to talk about how your mess can bless. Kids, attention? Okay, cool. So your mess can bless because it can reveal God and his love and his power and his compassion to others. It teaches you how to comfort others who are going through the same mess. And then there is something either physical or spiritual that is produced from your mess. So first we're going to talk about revealing God and his love and his power and compassion to others. In the latter half of the book of Genesis, like the last 13, 14 chapters, we get the story of Joseph, who is the son of Jacob and Rachel. And he is the favorite of 12 sons. And Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers out of hatred and jealousy and resentment. And he's sold into slavery and then eventually ends up in prison in Egypt. And then eventually becomes one of the highest ranking officials in Egypt. And sometime later, his family would go through a famine in their land. So they come to Egypt because they're running out of food from their famine. and they get to see Joseph, but they don't know it's Joseph, but Joseph knows that it is them. And so Joseph tests them a little bit, and then eventually reveals his identity to them. And then his brothers are concerned that their brother's going to hate them. This is Joseph's response in Genesis 50:20. Hope this isn't distracting. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Instead of being angry with God about being sold into slavery and put in prison, he recognizes the will and the power of God to use his mess as a means of saving his family, the people that he cares about. Joseph is saying, "Thank God my office is a mess. Because of my mess of being thrown in prison and sold into slavery, my family gets to be blessed. They get to be saved because of their famine. Thank God my office is a mess." In John chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples come across a man who was born blind. And his disciples ask Jesus, they say, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And this is Jesus' response. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Then Jesus makes mud, he spits on the ground and makes mud, and he rubs it on his eyes, and he tells him to go wash it off, and then his sight is restored. The blind man now has a testimony. He has a story of love and compassion, and about this man named Jesus who changed his life. Can you imagine the hundreds and maybe thousands of people who he would go on to tell the story to? The way that he got to experience Jesus was different than how we get to experience Jesus, because we aren't born blind then and have our sight restored to us. He got to experience Jesus in a way that maybe we could never. So I can imagine him saying, "Thank God my office is a mess, because I get to go tell people about this man named Jesus who changed my life. I got to experience Jesus in a way that a lot of people don't get to experience Jesus. Thank God my office is a mess." In Mark chapter 5, there's a man who's demon-possessed by a legion of demons. Jesus cast the demons out into a herd of pigs, and they run off the cliff and they drowned. The Bible has a lot of interesting stories, what can I say? So then this man, changed by Jesus, comes to Jesus and is like, "Can I follow you? Let me follow you." And this is Jesus' response to him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Just like the blind man, can you imagine the stories that this man would go on to tell about Jesus? He was excited to follow Jesus. So imagine the excitement that he would have to go tell this story to so many people. This man who was possessed by demons is saying, "Thank God my office is a mess. Yes, I had this mess and I was possessed. But because of this mess, I get to go bless others with the story of Jesus." We thank God for the messy office because Jesus told us to go make disciples of all nations. We talk about Jesus until the whole world has heard. We should desire for people to know God. Because of people's messy offices, they have a testimony to go tell people what the Lord has done for them. We get to talk about his love and power and compassion. So now we can talk about how the mess can bless by teaching you how to comfort others with the same mess. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." I want to speak to the kids in here first, and probably some of the teenagers. Kids in here, do you guys like playing on playgrounds? It's fun, yeah, it's fun. Raise your hand if you like playing on playgrounds. I knew the youth group would raise their hands. They're a bunch of kids at heart. I hope this isn't you, but this happens. Sometimes you see kids playing on the playground, but you see one kid off by himself. And he is alone, and he's hurting because no one's inviting him in to play. Until someone does. And that one person comes to you and says, "Hey, come play with us." But now you know the pain of being alone and not having no one to play with. And then the next week, you see another kid by himself. You're hanging out with your new friends and your other kids, and you see another kid. And then you remember how much it hurt you to be by yourself, that not to be invited in, to be alone. And you remember that pain. And so you say, "I don't want anyone else to feel that way. So I'm going to go invite them in. Thank God my office is a mess because I know the pain of feeling alone so that if I see someone else alone, I know to invite them in so that they don't have to feel that pain too." this generation is full of a lot of anxiety and depression. It is. And a lot of us have gone through it. But you know what? We actually did a series on this over about a year and a half ago. One thing we talked about was, yes, you go through it, but it's not just all bad. You got to look at the bright side on it. You've gone through this so that when you see other people going through it, you know how to walk through it with them. Thank God my office is a mess, that I went through this so I can help others walk through it too. I've never struggled with the death of a parent. I'm very blessed to say both my parents are here today. And I, especially my teenage years, I don't know what that's like. And so last summer at camp, there was a camper who was talking to me about how they were struggling because their dad had passed away, I think, 2 years prior. And I'm sitting with them, and I'm loving with them, and I'm comforting them, but I'm like, I can't actively walk them through it because I've never gone through it. And so I refer them to Izzy because her mom had just passed away a year prior. And I know how much God, Izzy loves God and her heart for God and her heart for loving people. So I tell this camper, I say, go talk to Izzy. She's going to know a lot more about this than I am. And I know Izzy can be saying, thank God my office is a mess because, yeah, it hurt. I miss my mom, but I love God so much, and I get to help people with the same troubles that I had to go through. Thank God my office is a mess. Denise Hudgens, thank you for letting me share this story. Denise is in my, hopefully you remember that I asked you that I could share this story. Denise is in my small group. And a few months ago, she texted our group chat and shared with us that she was diagnosed with cancer. And this message has been on my heart since December when I had that thought in my head. When she texted me, our group chat, that, man, this just pushed even further that I need to get this message off my heart. This was Denise's response at the end of her message. I am in a really good headspace and know that I am living this chapter so I can help someone else later on. Thanks in advance for your prayers. God is good. This is the embodiment of thank God my office is a mess. Denise understands the principle. She says, thank God my office is a mess. This hurts, I have a mess. But she's already in the mindset of, I get to go help people because of my own mess. Thank God my office is a mess. Denise, thank you for letting me share that. And finally, we get to physical or spiritual production from the mess. I did not ask to share this story because it's our family story. But in February of 2010, our family's lives changed forever. This is one of my favorite pictures. This was about a month after my dad was injured in Afghanistan. I can't tell you how much this impacted our lives. I can remember the day. It's funny, my mom just shared this story last week. But I remember the day my mom got the call that my dad had been injured in Afghanistan. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if he was going to live. He was on the brink of death. And I specifically remember, I vividly remember where we were. We were in my parents' bedroom. I remember my mom on the floor crying her heart out. And I was more of in a state of shock. Like, what's going on? I'm 11 years old in this picture, by the way. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And in my mom's, the hardest moment in my mom's life, she tells my brother and I to go pray. She gets off the phone, go pray, go pray. And so I learned in that moment that when the mess strikes, we go pray. We go pray, that's first and foremost. And in the hardest event of my family's life, my dad and my mom, I learned how to praise God in all circumstances. The story that my mom shared last week, if you don't remember it, go back to the live stream from last week. They both taught me how to praise God in all circumstances. I remember a few months later, I would ask my mom, I don't even know if you remember this, I asked my mom, I said, does he forgive the men who did this to him? And the short answer was yes. And then I learned in that moment how to forgive even when people sin against you in the worst of ways. Because I remember that I've sinned against God, as we all have. And if God can continue to forgive me in my sin, how can we not forgive the sins of others? But the amount of good that has been produced for our family, physically and spiritually, because of that day, has been immeasurable. And I've never actively asked him this, but I have to imagine that he's looked at everything that his family's been blessed with and thought, wow, God has really blessed my family. This hurt for me. This is hard. This was hard for me, but my family's been blessed because of this. And so I can imagine my dad saying, thank God my office is a mess. Yes, I had to go through the mess, but my family's been so blessed because of that. The idea here is to consider others in your mess. This is not to say that you're not allowed to think of yourself in your mess. It's your mess after all. You are allowed to be hurt in your mess. You are allowed to weep and mourn and be angry in your mess. It is your mess. You are allowed to be angry. Jesus did not condemn Mary and Martha for crying when their brother Lazarus died. He wept with them. Knowing that he was about to bring Lazarus back to life, he weeps with Mary and Martha. He does not condemn them for it. You are allowed to weep in your mess. So what I'm saying is, can you also think beyond yourself and consider how your mess may bless others? But Nathan, why would I think of others in my mess? I'm too focused on my mess. Are we called to think of only ourselves? Or are we called to carry each other's burdens and think of others in life? And so I present these messages to you. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Philippians 2:3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or with conceit or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. If you don't feel called to think of others or care for others, do you really know Jesus? Because we read his life. That's what he did. He thought of others and he cared for others, and he calls us to do likewise. When did faith become all about me, myself, and I? Can we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep and mourn with those who weep and mourn? And if you don't believe that what I'm saying is true about your messy office, if I have not convinced you yet, then let's consider the worst mess that ever blessed. Isaiah 53 that Ruby read for us. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. I want you to take this scripture and consider this concept of a messy office, and I want you to reread that last part. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his mess we are blessed. By his wounds, his mess, we are healed, we are blessed. This was Jesus' mess. He had a bigger mess than anyone ever. And his mess was for the sole purpose of our blessing, of our salvation and our eternal life with him. Jesus was on the cross saying, thank God my office is a mess. Because my office is a mess, I get to spend eternity with the people I love. I get to reconcile my people to the Father. Thank God my office is a mess. And I came up with this little phrase that kind of sums up what I'm talking about today. Just this fun little thing that I wrote. Okay, cool. Jesus had stress about his mess, but still did his best to bless and was a success. You see what I'm doing here? To access his salvation, confess and say yes. Right? Jesus was stressed about his own mess. You remember him in the garden. He was saying, is there any other way to save the people? Is there any other way? Can you take this cup from me? But even so, not my will, but yours. Is there any other way? Jesus was anxious about his crucifixion. Jesus had stress about his mess. You're allowed to be angry and weep in your mess. Please don't feel like you can't. Don't feel like I'm saying, no, Nathan told me I'm not allowed to be angry and I have to think of others. No, because Jesus was the same way. Jesus is the example of how your mess can bless. Because of his mess, we have a story of salvation to tell. We have a perfect Savior to tell the world about, because we want the world to know who Jesus is. Because of his mess, we can comfort others with the message of hope that we have that he gives us. And because of his mess, we are blessed. You may not even get to see the bless that your mess produces this side of eternity. That's one of the hardest things. It could happen 20 years down the line. Your mess could happen now, and the bless that is produced from it may not happen until 20 years down the line. Or maybe it may not even happen until you're already with Jesus. That's the hard part. But we believe in a good and loving and faithful God who works in ways that we can't even understand. And so I'm just glad to know that the mess is not for isn't for nothing. I'm glad to know that the mess isn't for nothing. And then when you least expect it, another mess ravages your life. This is my office post-VBS, even to the point where Alec Hill comes to me and he says, "Your office is like a maze." I'm like, "I'm sorry, man. I know you're trying to get my trash and my recycling, but I've been blessed with donations. What can I say?" So after VBS and so many members bringing donations for churches on the streets so that we can go bless the homeless community downtown, this is what this is. So this is about 2 weeks ago when our summer intern, Sydney, and I, she's the one who did communion today, when Sydney and I were going through the donations and having to organize all this, and it took some time. This is a lot of stuff. You think that stuff in the front, in front of my desk is a lot? There's a lot more stuff behind my desk. Don't worry. This was a bigger mess than the pictures I showed you before. But we were going through and organizing this monster 2 weeks ago before we went back downtown. Yes, we had to organize. Yes, we had to figure out where things were going and what we were taking. And honestly, some people kind of donate things that we're like, "I'm not sure what to do with this. I'm not sure if people are going to want this." So we had to go through this and, you know, we have our little moments of grumbling. You know, this isn't fun per se to organize this much stuff. So we're grumbling a little bit. So Sydney and I were going through it and making our little comments. But then I say, "What a blessing it is to only be organizing it and not being one of the people receiving it tonight. It's all about the perspective change. I could complain and complain and complain that I have to organize this. First of all, I'm the one asking for this. Would I mind a closet specifically for this stuff? Not really. I would love that. I would love a closet. My office has become the storage place. But I would much rather be the one organizing it than receiving it on the streets tonight. It's all about the perspective change. What a blessing it is to know that this, we don't go through the mess for no reason. That we know that we can bless others in our mess, as well as ourselves. You've heard the sermons of how the things that we go through are good for our character development and how God is with us. But what about how our mess can bless others in our lives, our friends, our family, our loved ones? Some of you may be getting into a mess right now. Some of you may be already in a mess. And some of you may be coming on the outside of a mess in your lives right now. My prayer for you is that you won't feel the guilt of your anger and your mourning. Please weep. Jesus was anxious about his crucifixion. Please feel that. I'm not telling you that you can't. Please do that. But I also pray that you will be able to step outside of yourself and see the ways in which your mess can bless. And if and when you see how your mess can bless, my prayer is that you will come out on the other side. Is that you, whether you are coming into the mess, or you are in the mess, or you are coming outside of the mess, my prayer is that you will be able to step outside of yourself and be able to say this phrase: "Thank good God Almighty that my office is a mess."